Now, hold on, Lee.
Okay.
Now, this can't be true. I just heard in your news about those 8 Trende Aragua gang members.
Yeah, right.
Who've been terrorizing the city of Aurora, taking over apartment complexes.
Yeah.
Arrested?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't make any sense. Because just this weekend, as I was preparing for the show, I was reading all the mainstream media fact checks saying there were no gang members in Aurora taking over apartment complexes. That was fake.
Yeah, right.
You realize all of those fact checks were out this weekend. Totally fake. USA Today, just fake. No. There's a woman, there's a council member down there in Aurora, and she's just kind of confused. She's been mainlining too much Trump right into her veins. She's just silly and cuckoo. That's not going, oh, look, it is. What are we? A week later here? I mean, not even, like 5-6 days? And I mean, Lee, this was the Associated Press, USA Today, Washington Post, New York Times, CNN. It wasn't real.
Because it doesn't fit the narrative. That's it.
It wasn't. I mean, I'm at the point now, if the mainstream media takes the time to fact check something,
it must be true.
It must be true.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know how many times, whether it is Trump or Republicans or, you know, right-wing media, whatever, that make claims about specific things that are denied and debunked, supposedly, turn out to be true.
Anything that's damaging to the Democrat Party,
right,
is
exactly.
Pretty much it.
If it doesn't fit the narrative, we're either going to say it's not true or deny it, or both.
You know how? Do you know why we actually have the police arresting them? Because remember, the police chief denied this. Said no, they haven't gone in and taken territory. That didn't happen. And now we have the police chief arresting the guys that did it. How do we get here? Why did this happen? This is what's really interesting, okay? It took one outlet to break, and that outlet was the Denver Gazette, an independent publication there in Colorado, went and did some actual journalism, and boy, did they do some journalism. Turns out the governor was lying about this. The state attorney general was lying about this. They're Democrats. Not only were they lying about Trende Aragua taking over those 3 apartment complexes in Aurora, but they'd left a long paper trail of the owner coming to them in desperation, sending his attorneys, informing them, saying the police can't do anything because they're under this order to basically stop policing from the liberal attorney general of that state. They sent us to you. Please help us. They knew these gangs had taken over. But listen to this. It got even worse because the Denver Gazette also got memos from a meeting of the police, the FBI, and the Department of Homeland Security as they tried to figure out how to reclaim these apartments. So think about this. And I don't know who threatened this police chief. I'd love to know that side of the story. Somebody must have. The police chief knows damn well his department's met with the FBI, Department of Homeland Security, to try to figure out how to liberate these apartment complexes from Joe and Kamala's voters, right?
Yeah.
They've met with them. They know that.
There's public records of it.
Yes, and they lied about it anyway.
No, so.
To serve as the basis for the media's fact checks. Okay, now here's where it gets nuts, okay? Here's the real story, because let me tell you what's coming next, okay? And they'll deny this too, and then they'll have to admit it. When the FBI met with the Aurora police about, like, how do we take back these apartment complexes, where, I mean, literally these gangsters go in, they send the maid to tell the owner, hey, if he shows up, we'll kill him. They damn near almost kill one person, beat another guy who works there, and then start collecting rent. And do you know how the city dealt with it? They wanted to silence it. They went after the landlord. They went after the landlord for violations on the property. And the landlord's like, dude, I can't get in there. I'm not allowed to go on my property. You guys won't send the police to clear it. I'll take care of the violations if you will. Okay, listen to this. This is nuts. In the memo where the FBI meets with the Aurora police, they admit to the Aurora police, it's not just Aurora. This gang, Trende Aragua, is seizing apartment complexes all across Colorado. Let that sink in. This is just one of them. So that story hasn't broken yet, but that's coming because it's in the memo. It's being blacked out by the mainstream media.
But of course, the governor's spokesperson there says that these are just cynical statements made by certain officials.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Sure.
The same ones who called in the FBI and Department of Homeland Security to figure out how to retake the territory, those officials?
Maybe that's part of that opportunity economy that Kamala Harris is talking about.
Well, it is an opportunity for somebody,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So this just goes to show you, I just want to point out this lie, where we were in the lie by the media at, you know, at this weekend, and where we are now with the same police chief who's like, this isn't going on. Now he's arresting these gang members, rounding them up. And by the way, Lee, they didn't want to arrest these gang members. Remember what they did? But there was the shooting that almost resulted in death. And one of the guys who's an illegal immigrant, they just spawned him right out. Yeah, just a little near-death shooting. No big deal. Hey, welcome back to Aurora.
No.
Want to vote Democrat? We'll show you how to register. That's where we are. So the media still being blacked out from the American people is the even bigger story of the FBI memo to the oil companies in the Permian Basin, warning them, hey, these cartels and gangs, you know, they might kill you if you don't hand over the drilling equipment. Because they're stealing the drilling equipment, the sluicing equipment, and the actual oil. And they're running these guys that are hauling the oil, they're running them off the road and taking their trucks by force, driving off with the oil. You know what that is? That's terrorism.
Well, yeah.
That's not just a crime, that's terrorism. So the FBI has put out a memo. My question is, what are they doing?
Well.
Actually, I know the answer to that question.
Yeah, exactly.
They're too busy going after Russian collusion.
Yeah.
Because some conservatives get paid by a company that once took some Russian money to trifle with things like our oil fields being taken over.
Yeah. No national security interest there.
None whatsoever. This story is going to get much, much bigger. But they always go through the first phase, Lee, the lies.
Yep.
Like in the Haitians eat cat story.
Yeah.
We're in the lie phase right now. The denial phase. That's not true. Fact check. Nope. Never happened. Have you seen the video of the police pulling up and the woman is in the driveway and she's got the cat, the dead cat in her hands, and she's eating it?
That I have not seen. I'm glad I haven't. Also, I found out, too, from Daily Wire's reporting that there actually were two people in the Springfield, Ohio area that were killed by Haitian immigrant drivers. There was a woman testified that her mother-in-law was run down as she was putting her garbage cans out in the street, run down and killed. This, too, was a undocumented Haitian immigrant that was driving without a license. So you have an 11-year-old boy that was killed in a school bus wreck when he was the school bus was hit head-on by a Haitian driver immigrant. And then you have this mother, this woman, grandmother, that was killed when she was simply putting her trash cans out by the street. So you have two dead traffic situations in the Springfield, Ohio area. But yet, whether or not the whole cat thing or the duck or goose thing is even accurate or not is immaterial. The problem is that you have got a federal government that is dumping immigrants into small towns and turning their back to the citizens when the crime and damage reports come in.
And those numbers are the truly shocking ones. I mean, it's a town of 58,000 and they dumped 18,000 migrants on them in 3 years. And I mean, the mayor's been on Fox News saying, look, our town is on the verge of collapse. Yeah. We've got a TB outbreak, like we're a third world city. And the mainstream media is out there like, not true.
Yeah. Unsubstantiated claims.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And you know how this will go? I mean, if this goes like everything else, right, with the mainstream media, we're in the denial phase. It's not true. It's lies. Okay. So then we'll move into what comes next? Why do you care if they're eating pets?
Yeah,
exactly. Why do you care? Are you a white supremacist? Are you a racist? And then we'll be into eating pets is a good thing.
Exactly.
Right?
The feral cat problem in this the Springfield is being taken care of by these migrants.
Yeah, and then I guess the final phase will be not eating pets is white supremacy.
Right, exactly.
Gosh. Right? I mean, if this goes the way the Tren de Aragua gang story went, this will be, I mean...
All right. Combating absurdity by being absurd, as Rush always used to do. Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, J.D. Vance, who I'm growing to love more and more every day.
Yeah.
I see a J.D. Vance video. I'm like, ooh, stop what I'm doing. Hit play. And then me and the kids laugh as he tears the media apart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. J.D. Vance gets grilled by CNN. How dare you say those Haitians who are caught on video eating cats are eating cats? How dare you say that? By the way, and we went through the police reports yesterday, too, on the show. The Federalist dug a lot of those up. Anyway, listen to J.D. Vance turn this around on CNN. And he's right.
Why push something that's not true?
Well, first of all, city officials have not said it's not true. They've said they don't have all the evidence.
They said they have no evidence.
We've heard from a number of constituents on the ground, Caitlin, who both firsthand and secondhand reports saying this stuff is happening. So they very clearly, meaning the people on the ground dealing with this, think that it is happening. And I think that it's important for journalists to actually get on the ground and uncover this stuff for themselves when you have a lot of people saying, my pets are being abducted, or geese at the city pond are being abducted and slaughtered right in front of us. This is crazy stuff. And Caitlin, this town has been ravaged by 20,000 migrants coming in. Healthcare costs are up. Housing costs are up. Communicable diseases like HIV and TB have skyrocketed in this small Ohio town. This is what Kamala Harris's border policies have done. And I think it's interesting, Caitlin, that the media didn't care about the carnage wrought by these policies until we turned it into a meme about cats. And that speaks to the media's failure to care about what's going on in these communities. If we have to meme about it to get the media to care, we're going to keep on doing it because the media should care about what's going on.
I saw you said.
And that's in his state. He is a sitting senator from Ohio. So I think he would probably have a pretty good, ear to the ground about what's going on there. And of course, you also have the testimony, the comments from people at the city council meetings.
Who have said, we have seen them. They behead ducks in front of us. And I mean, I could play it. I won't again because I did yesterday. The 911 call from the guy who's like, hey, four Haitians just went into the park and took four geese and walked off with them. Which, again, it's not just this that's the problem. It's the fact that this is being caused by, you know, the flood of these people coming into this country. They haven't been vetted because we don't have a good relationship with Venezuela. You know what I wonder? You know how Taylor Swift signed her endorsement, Cat Lady?
Yeah.
But I bet you these liberals knew that Kamala's migrants were eating their pets. I bet they would vote for Trump. But they'll probably never know that. So. Oops. You ever included somebody in one of your emails you didn't mean to include? You accidentally added them? It's very easy to do. One keystroke. It's a common, email you commonly email. Might put it in the bunch and now you've just emailed them something you shouldn't. Yeah. Evil spokes hack for the Biden administration. Or is it the Harris administration? Nobody really knows anymore. John Kirby meant to send this email just to internal haters in the Biden administration. He actually sent it to Fox News. They made the mistake on 9/11 of asking for a response to the veterans appalled by Biden's botched Afghan withdrawal. But why are they upset? People died. You droned a family, including seven kids, then lied to Americans and said you'd taken out ISIS-K. Wasn't until later when the New York Times did an investigative story on it that you were forced to admit you'd actually droned seven kids and a handful of adults and then told everybody they were ISIS-K. By the way, do you realize we've never droned ISIS-K since or gone after them in any way to avenge the murders of the 13? And nobody has been fired for murdering that family. And lying to the American people, saying it was ISIS-K when they knew damn well it wasn't. They would have had to. The New York Times didn't even have security clearances and they were able to figure it out. So what do you say to people who are a little perturbed by all that? A little perturbed by the deaths of the 13 guarding Abbey Gate. When we could have easily flown out of Bagram, except you handed it to the enemy. You handed the world's premier, most valuable piece of real estate in the Middle East to the enemy that we spent 20 years and 3,000 lives fighting, the Taliban. If any of that makes you a little mad, well, you're just one of a handful of vets upset by Biden's botched withdrawal. And obviously there's no use in responding. Okay, this is a top 10 trending story in the nation. Why? Well, who are the handful of vets and their families who are upset? The 13 murdered at Abbey Gate for no reason other than Joe Biden's determination to make sure that the most valuable piece of military property fell into the hands of the Taliban. Never mind. This one, to me, one of the most shocking parts of that report that came out this week on Afghanistan. The Brits begged us, give us Bagram. Let us have it. We spent hundreds of millions of dollars building those runways. Why do the Brits want Bagram? Why should we have given it to them if we're just going to walk off? Because it is equidistant between Iran and China. If we were to ever take on either of them in a conflict, it would be invaluable. So the Brits are like, hey, if you don't want it, that's cool. Just tell us. Call, write, send an email, and we'll take it. If the Brits controlled Bagram, it would be in Western hands. We could use it in a conflict. But Joe Biden said no and handed it to the Taliban. It did not fall to the Taliban. That is disinformation. Remember, the Wall Street Journal reported, no, one of Biden's generals was sent to negotiate with the Taliban and insist they take Bagram, insist they oversee the checkpoints for the withdrawal. It did not fall. It was handed. You know why I think? I've told you many times, the Wall Street Journal later revealed that the Taliban had a secret deal with the Chinese worth billions of dollars to mine the lithium mines. And Biden wanted that airport to fall into the hands of the Taliban because those are really the hands of the Chinese. It's the price of having a compromised president. When you put it together that way, it all makes sense. When I saw it in the Wall Street Journal, I was like, oh, okay. We weren't really handing the country or Bagram to ISIS or the Taliban or any of them. No, we were handing it to the Chinese, who they were in partnership with. We just didn't know it. The question would be, did the Biden administration, because I bet they did. I bet they did know it. So now that Bagram is controlled by the Chinese, we can't exactly use it in a military conflict with the Chinese or with Iran for that matter. How convenient. Anyway, that's why the Brits censured Biden. You know what was amazing yesterday, folks? And I just can't get into the 9/11 commemorations anymore. I can't. You know why? Because everybody always stands up there and says we won't forget, but we've forgotten. It actually makes me sick watching it now. It feels like such a betrayal of those poor people. And the thousands of vets who would die in Iraq and Afghanistan for really nothing. We just got bored of those wars and walked off. In the case of Afghanistan, handed everything we fought for. And I mean, you've seen these wounded vets, the ones on Fox News on a commercial break, send money, we'll build him a house. He stepped in an IED. God bless those guys. Because he stepped on an IED to claim territory that we just handed back to the Taliban. Why'd he bother? I don't know. I don't know why. But I couldn't get into it yesterday. I'm sorry I didn't talk about it. I was disgusted. I was just disgusted. I was disgusted with what the American people have tolerated from their government. Disgusted, especially from our government, who is now giving away the territory 3,000 Americans died to conquer. And 20,000 were injured conquering. Just give it back to the enemy. Just hand it to them. Meet with them beforehand for the formal turnover. It's absurd. Uh-oh. You headed to Hilton Head? Might not want to get in the water. Did you hear about this? They're just now addressing this. Confirmed 3 shark attacks just in July. An all-time high number. The Island Packet out there in Hilton Head, South Carolina, asking the question, are there more sharks in Hilton Head Island? Surf now? 3 bites in July? That's a lot. Because what have we always been told about these sharks? They're super rare, right? So don't even worry. Just go in the water. Don't think about it. They're also sighting far more sharks off the shore than they ever did before, too. Black tips, great whites, lemon sharks, tiger sharks. They'll eat you whole. Bulls, the most ferocious shark in terms of willingness to bite, and hammerheads. Sounds like fun, right? That's what you're looking for on your vacation. Well, here's what's actually happening, they think. There was no fisheries regulation till the 70s, and the waters off our shores were largely so overfished, there wasn't as much for sharks to eat. There weren't as many of them. They couldn't survive. But the bill passed in 1976, the Magnuson-Stevens Fishery Conservation and Management Act, put in place laws for long-term economic sustainability. We've seen a boom in the fish population, and you know what that means? Interesting. So look, for most of the time, humans have been going in the water because it wasn't really popular even 100 years ago to go to the beach. That wasn't something you would do. Most of the time humans have been going in the water, the waters have been overfished. Nobody actually knows how dangerous it would be to go in the water if we ever got back to the healthy native levels of fish in the water. But we may find out off Hilton Head. 3 attacks in July alone. So, if you're going to the beach, enjoy. Joining me now is South Carolina State Treasurer Curtis Loftus. Good morning, sir.
How are you?
Good. All right.
That's
so you
want to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. And you'll be even better. It'll be a burden off your shoulders to know that college is paid for. And this is College Savings Month, right?
That's right. Everybody gets a month. And I got mine, College Savings Month. We're excited that you give me the time to talk. You know, Future Scholar, South Carolina's College Savings Program, is considered to be one of the best in the country. It's a great thing. The Journalist Assembly set it up, and they looked at the treasurers, and they said, here, you run this. We got a few rules. Make it simple, make it cheap, and make it work. And with those rules, we've been able to grow the program from a $1 billion program to a $6.6 billion program. And we do so because it's tax advantage. You can save for not just college, not just, you know, that 4 years or graduate school, but for tech school, for trade schools, for culinary schools, for any sort of school that's accredited, including private school K-12 tuition.
Now,
that kind of flexibility everybody wants in.
Yeah, and that is huge, a $6 billion fund. I mean, there's only 5 million of us in the state, so that's a lot of people saving for college using your Future Scholar plan, Curtis Loftus. Interesting. In South Carolina, you can deduct 100% of your contributions on your state income tax return?
Yes, the state tax deduction there for South Carolina residents. And then when the money goes into the account, it grows tax-free, both federal and state, which is a fantastic thing. And then when you pull it out for accredited expenses, it's tax-free again. So you beat that tax man 3 times. And, you know, if you start early, and we had a young college girl, I don't know if you can say that, a college lady, open an account on herself when she's like 21 or 2 years old. She knew she'd get married 25 or 30, and she'd have a child, but she wanted that extra 5 or 10 years to let her money grow. And it's just genius. So if you're a grandma, a grandpa, you start those accounts for your kids or grandkids before they are even here. And again, with any type of investing and saving, the longer you have the money there, the better it is.
And this makes such a great gift, too, especially now in the time when kids only want online games. They don't want things anymore. And so I'm always having family members, you know, what do I do? What do I give? I don't know. And they may not, you know, they may not love it now because it's not Roblox, but boy, they'll love it when it's paid for and they don't have to borrow money, right?
That's right. I refuse to play the game stuff because every child I know and don't know, you meet them, they've got everything they need.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't think that, right? But they do. They far more than what we had as children. I have 8, because I have nephews and nieces, I have 8 college savings programs that I've started and funded for my nieces and nephews. And I'm glad I did it. It's easy to do. You start by going to FutureScholar.com. FutureScholar.com. It's an easy website to manage. If for some reason you can't manage it, there's an 800 number, and there's somebody that's a real professional there that can help you. And it takes about 30 minutes. There are no fees. You don't have to put money in then. But once you've got that account, then you can talk to your mom and your dad and your best friend, your boss or whoever, and they'll help too. So, you know, don't buy a little Bobby that blue sweater. Put that 50 or 100 bucks into the account. And over time, it makes a difference. Tara, you know people firsthand, we all do. Debt from being in college runs their life. It tells them where they live, what town they live in, what kind of work they're going to do, how many hours they work a week. The point of Future Scholar is that you can send your child or your loved one to the type of education they want and they need without that bone-crushing debt. And it's one of the best things the General Assembly's ever done. You know, Greenville's got people like Bruce Banister and all that protect this program because they know how important it is. So we've always got to lean back onto it and just be proud of it. And if we can help you, we want to do just that.
And you go to futurescholar.com, super easy to open up the account. You can have it automatically drafted every month if you want. I know because I've had Future Scholar account. And it's surprising, Curtis Loftus, how fast the money builds up in there.
I've been treasurer for 14 years now. There were people who started an account when I was in my first and second and third years. Some of those kids are out of college now. If I walk through a mall or go to a party or someplace, I'll hear people say, hey, we started our program and our kid's out and he doesn't have any debt.
That's awesome.
That's just a fantastic thing. We're just so fortunate that the state gives us this opportunity. If government was this good in everything, we'd all be big government guys, right? But this is a good program because it's all private dollars.
Fantastic. Again, Curtis Loftus, where can folks find Future Scholar?
FutureScholar.com. FutureScholar.com. That's where you need to be this weekend, not in the beach at the beach in Hilton Head.
Yeah, getting eaten by sharks, apparently.
That's right. Why would a shark want a bony fish when he can get into a big, fat, obese leg from a good American from New Jersey?
That's what I think, too, Treasurer. But the problem is, I think these scientists, I don't think they're being completely straight up with us. You know what I mean? Don't worry. He doesn't want to eat you. I'm not convinced.
I quit with the beach when I saw a Japanese whaling crew eyeing me from the beach. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, no, it's time for me to quit.
Uh-oh.
I'm out of here.
Uh-oh. Curtis Loftus.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us this morning on 98.9 WORD. Do you know what it's like if you live in China? You have to have a key to use the internet. It's not an actual key. They call it that. But no, it's not an actual key. It's like a thing that you, it's like an identity that you plug into the internet to set yourself up. You don't have to use it every time, but to initially to get on, you do. Why? There is an Iron Curtain around China. So they can't just go wandering through Facebook seeing real and truth. Well, I guess there's no truthful things there. Those are all censored. Sorry. They can't just go wandering through X and see real and truthful things. It's all controlled. You can't see it, but it's like a wall around China. Kind of scary, right? Really bad. There's actually a pretty decent article of a couple of years back in the New York Times about what it's like to live inside that wall in China, because some Americans have done it, who have gone in, to China, stayed there on, you know, visas and that kind of thing. They have to comply with the system when they're there. Can you imagine if the whole world was that way? Because it's about to be. These world leaders from Australia to Europe to Brazil are very jealous of the Chinese system, and they want to implement it, and they will if Kamala Harris is elected. Here's just the latest headline. Australia to fine social media giants for enabling misinformation. If you don't allow Australian bureaucrats to censor true things that make liberals look bad, internet platforms, those platforms that don't think X, could be fined 5% of their global revenue. Doesn't matter if they're making money or not. 5% of their global revenue. If they pay the fine, but still refuse to censor, they get blocked. Literally Chinese style. If X refuses to pay the fine, blocked. Isn't that what China does? It's exactly what China does. Except China doesn't give you an option with a fine. They have their own internet controlled by the government, which is where this is eventually going. Yahoo Finance writes, it's part of a worldwide push to rein in borderless tech giants. Ooh, they're out of control. Which has angered free speech advocates. Canberra in Australia, that's basically a short name for the Australian government, wants to make sure tech platforms set codes of conduct to be approved by the regulator. You know what this means, don't you? If you want to run for state legislature here, but you run afoul of a bureaucrat in Australia who doesn't want you talking about transgender policy in South Carolina, if that bureaucrat doesn't get to censor your campaign, well, Elon Musk gets the fine. In other words, every liberal bureaucrat on earth can censor our politics, our speech, or else. You know what this is? You are looking at the backbone for world government built on speech, and Kamala Harris is going to do it if she wins. And it never even came up at the debate.